Welcome back to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Brady Bowman with you, here with a room full of state legislatures. We've got Representative Sidney Carlin of Manhattan, Democrat. We've got Representative Tom Phillips of Manhattan, a Republican. We got Democratic State Senator Tom Hawk, Manhattan, and Republican Representative Ron Hyland of Wabunsee. Got it this time. And let's go ahead and address those questions from a previous caller. Questions about marijuana legalization and the funding that could possibly come from that. And I'm sure that's a question that all of you are probably getting more and more frequently. As a matter of fact, I mean, there was an amendment vote to a bill not that long ago in this session. Now, it didn't pass, but it's probably a little closer than anybody would have thought 5-6 years ago, maybe even 2 years ago.
Well, I think the caller raised a really good point, and I suspect somewhere down the line that Kansas, and the caller's right, we've never been a leader on some of these social syntax type issues, and I think there's some wisdom in letting states like Colorado deal with the problems, because there are problems when you legalize various syntax kinds of things, whether it's alcohol or marijuana or other drugs. And I think the caller did make a good point about what it does to prisons. And we did work on our laws in terms of making sure that people that were in minor in possession or had a minor possession or a small amount of marijuana did not suffer some of the prison consequences that have occurred before. So I think we're kind of gradually moving. I sort of like the research piece. My biggest personal concern is when I hear from people that use that for children who have seizures, and so I'm glad we passed the CBD oil bill. I'm personally not as bothered if it takes some THC in minor amounts to be effective. I'll wait for the facts on that, but I think we did some good first steps. I think there is a missed perception that if we legalized marijuana, or for that matter, had more casino gambling, that we would have bazillions of dollars. We only make $70 million off the lottery. $70 million is a state share off casinos. Out of a $16 billion state budget, that doesn't really make a big dent. It's helpful. I think we would see the same kind of revenue if we totally legalized marijuana. It would still not be such a huge amount of money that it would solve some of the problems. I like the fact that we've been slow and steady and try to have a diversified income stream. We got off of that with Brownback's glide path to zero, and I think we need to have a good balance in steady streams of income, and then, as we talked earlier, set our priorities to how we spend that money diligently.
And just real quick, I just looked up Colorado.gov looking at their marijuana tax revenues from the past few years. 2014, it was just $67 million. 2017, $247 million in tax revenue for Colorado. For 2018 so far, from January to April, about $86 million in revenue there. And let's, if anybody has a couple more responses on this issue real quick, are we good?
We're good.
Let's go ahead and take this.
It was a group response on my part. I summarized our discussion.
Representative of the representatives.
That's what, since I'm not up for election, I can kind of step out there on that.
That's fair enough.
Marijuana.
Let's take this phone call. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, this is a question for all of you guys. And now on your school finance, can you explain to us how those 5 or 7 judges can come in and make law saying you need to spend this much? I thought the courts was to enforce the law. You know, you need to explain to us how they can come in and say, well, you need to spend $500 billion or million or whatever it was. And then if you don't do it, who are they going to arrest? Themselves, because they made that law? I mean, you got those 7 judges can come in. Why don't they come in next year and say, okay, you need to do, you need to spend $200 billion more dollars. I mean, what gives them the right? Don't they supposed to make enforce the law instead of make the law? And then on your drug deal, you need to go out to Colorado and stay out there for a while. You can see what kind of nightmares they have. Homelessness, unemployment, people going broke because they spent all their money on the drugs. So I think that you guys need to stay out of the drug business. So let's explain that to us, why those judges can make law and that's not their job. You all have a wonderful day, and thank God for Trump.
All right. Whoever wants to go ahead.
Well, you've hit a flashpoint, and we're going to have some disagreement, I'm sure, among us here. But that was one of the three reasons I voted against the school finance bill. I, with you, believe that the judges have no place in telling us what to budget for what area of the government. That's not their place. My contention is we as representatives, we're out here with the folks all the time. We see the people. The judges do not. They don't know what's priority among our state citizens, so that's our job, and we should be doing that. The other reason I voted against that bill was that there was a mental health piece put in there to fund particular school districts and setting up mental health programs. If anybody's been listening out in the public nowadays, the mental health crisis is a statewide issue, and that money should have been placed in a statewide program. So that was the other reason that I voted against that bill. It was too much, it was not their place, and we'll see what happens and how they may vote on that. So let's hear the other side of the issue.
I'll take that. Let me hop in here just a minute, because I just want to clarify. The judges did not bring this case to the court. The people brought the case to the court. The people were seeing the schools not getting enough money to operate, teachers bringing in their own money for their own supplies year after year after year, and the classrooms getting more and more crowded. And I just, he said, Ron and I go round and round sometimes, but he said, we're out here where we see the people. I visited a classroom a couple weeks ago, and with 30 students in a sixth grade room, let me tell you what, you don't have room to turn around. And that's what we're facing in Manhattan. Right now, there's also a moratorium on building. There's a cap on building money. We can't even be sure we can get a bond issue passed if we want to. But the courts respond to the public, and that's their job. They did not give us a dollar amount. They told us that it was insufficient. We had our own study that told us how much money our schools would need to improve the performance of our students.
I think the caller was asking, how did this happen? And my interpretation of it goes back to a constitutional amendment approved, I think it was in 1969, that said basically the legislature shall provide suitable funding for public education. And that's the debate. And that's why the plaintiff's attorney come in and argue the legislature is failing in its constitutional duty to suitably fund public education. That is why the court is being engaged in this whole debate. And you know, there's a long history, and over the decades, it evolved to suitable, evolved to equitable funding and adequate funding. And you know, this last court ruling said that we had failed to adequately fund, and that's the central issue of the debate. And I think Representative Hyland's contention is that there probably needs to be a constitutional amendment to clarify that language, because until there's clarification, we will probably constantly be in court one way or the other trying to resolve what is equitable and adequate issues for state funding of public education.
Senator Hawk, you want to get in there?
Yeah, I want to add to that. And, of course, Ron and I don't disagree on everything. In fact, agree on a lot of things. We're both from Western Kansas. People in Western Kansas get along with each other most of the time. But I do disagree. The caller sort of implied that the judges made the decision to do this. And that's really not true. And I know that's been promoted by some groups. And I think it's important to remember that we have courts who have one function. Courts don't just go out and make laws. They never make laws. What courts do is respond when people bring suit. And most of the time, when whoever loses, if somebody files a civil suit and says, my neighbor encroached on my property, and if the court says, yes, we looked at the facts, and the county commissioners brought in a plat and shows, yes, you did, the neighbor who said, no, no, that was my grandfather's land, is not happy with that decision and feels like the court made the wrong law. And that's just not true. And I think we have to keep in mind, as Representative Phillips and Representative Carlin said, we have a constitution. And part of what we have to keep in mind, if school districts can't access the courts when they say that one branch of government is not doing what the Constitution says, then we really don't have law. The courts are really the critical part of our government that makes sure that the laws we pass are enforced and fair. And we have the executive branch that actually enforces those. We're in the branch that makes the laws, and the courts are in the branch that decides what the disputes are. And there is a dispute about what is adequate. And yes, we could change the Constitution. I think the better solution, and we are so far behind on our base budget that we're to fund. We're clear back 10, 12 years ago where it was. And so we need to get that up. And if we get that up, and I think what we did is a good faith effort, and it will get it up there over the next 3 to 5 years, and then we won't be in court again. And so I'm pretty confident of that. We're getting closer.
And we do have another phone call. Nope. Okay, let's go ahead and take our last break. And we almost need like another hour to this show, I think. Yeah. But we'll come back and wrap everything up and some other things to talk about the budget when we come back here on In Focus on News Radio KMAN.
KMAN Morning Show is brought to you by M&S Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. M&S takes care of residential and commercial customers, and they provide prompt quality service to Manhattan and the surrounding area.
This is Michael David from Seattle. I'm 51 years old, and 6 months ago, I started taking Andro 400 to increase my testosterone. Since then, I've lost 35 pounds of fat, and my waist went from size 38 to size 32. I have more energy, and I look and feel 20 years younger. And now my wife tells me I have to take Andro 400.
Hi, this is Ron Johnson from Utah. After 10 weeks of taking Andro 400, I lost 13 pounds, and my waist went from 36 to 33. That was 8 years ago. I continue to take Andro 400, and I've maintained my weight at 172. Gained muscle and energy. I